Gilman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, Bridgestone Arena, where the Nashville Predators are playing today. Hold on, let me get this right here. The Predators are in action today against the Edmonton Oilers without Connor McDavid, which, you know, if you're in the ticket-selling business, that might be a bad thing. If you're in the trying-to-win-a-game business, I hate to say it, that might be a good thing. Ian is here today. Hello, Ian.
Hello, how we doing?
Outstanding. What happened to your tagline? Wait, what are we changing things up around here?
Yeah.
Why?
We'll see, you know.
You're the only person out there that got the season right for the Titans, and now you want to change things up?
It's just, yeah, maybe a little change of pace.
Okay. The most accurate pundit of the 2024 Tennessee Titans, ladies and gentlemen, Ian Zafar. By the way, I got to give a lot of congratulations out but before we get going, and I got to give a big thank you out as we get going. Number one, thank you to all of you, the listeners, because while it's been a trying time out here in the Nashville sports scene, you guys have been behind 102.5 the game, you know, in full force and unlike you have ever done it in the past. And that is across the board. That is not just this show, which set a Stillman & Company record, but it is the other shows as well. And I want to congratulate Chase and Joe, who are absolutely crushing it. I want to congratulate Robbie and Joe, who are continuing to crush it. And our midday show, you know, when Caroline left, they were at the peak that that program, at least since I've been here, the peak that that program had ever been. And with Adam in, they have just continued the momentum. And so thank you to you, the listener, but also congratulations to everybody here. Again, we have what I call a take-shaming culture where we get after one another, but we love each other. And I'm really, really, really excited for all the success that everybody's been having. Okay, let's start with this. I'm calling it the Brian Callahan conundrum. You're going to say, what do you mean? The Brian Callahan conundrum. I listened to Brian Callahan hold a press conference. I went to the press conference on Monday. They got smoked by Detroit. And he got up there and he took accountability for it. He got up there and he explained what wasn't going on correctly. He got up there and, again, like he has done for the most part, shot everybody straight. I listened to him yesterday talk about quarterback development. And I came away from it and I'm just like, this guy, he is insightful. He gets it. I joke about the other guys not knowing football, but it sounds when you listen to him like he knows football. In fact, this was Brian Callahan yesterday. Listen to how he explains kind of the state of quarterback development in the NFL. And by the way, let me say, we cut this off at a certain point because he goes on for 3 minutes. This is about a minute and a half of Brian Callahan talking about the state of quarterback development in today's game.
Brian, when it comes to the young quarterbacks in this league, we just saw a situation in Indy with Anthony Richardson being benched. You've been around the game for a while in quarterbacks. Do you feel like there is less patience, or does that kind of vary from organization to organization in terms of how they are setting up a quarterback for success?
How long you guys want to sit here?
I probably have a great answer on that.
Oh, I think there's a lot of things that go into that. There is, and I think before I speak on any of it, I think every situation is a little bit different, and every player and organization has different ways they go about it. So I'm not speaking for anybody, but I just think there's a couple of factors at play for some of the things that happen in the league. I think one, the quarterback position is the toughest position to play in sports. It's really difficult to play quarterback, and then it's even more difficult to play at a level that everybody wants their quarterback to play at. The top four or five guys in the league, everybody's searching for that. There's some of the factors I think are, you know, there's the economic factor of having a young quarterback on a rookie deal that allows for financial flexibility, so you can build a better roster and not pay the quarterback what they're getting paid now, $60 million plus now, as a part of the whole picture of building a team. You know, I think college football and NFL football are so dramatically different right now. There's very few like pro style offenses in college. There's a lot of things about what those guys do in college that works really well in college. And then there's a whole different level when you get here, the biggest thing for me, like the protections, understanding protections, how to protect yourself, how to set protections, the pressures you see in the high leverage spots in games. So there's, those are just some minor things, but there's also then now the patience part, which, as we all know, as I said the other day, there's not a lot of patience in pro sports in general. And sometimes it does take a little bit of time to learn all of those things.
And again, we cut that off, but he outlines exactly what the problems are. He explains it in a way that I think is understandable for other people, which if you're a coach, that's important because you're talking to 53 guys on a daily basis. And I hear him talk, and I know he's smart. I hear him talk, and I know he's accountable. And then I watch the games on Sunday, and I see the coaching, and I think to myself, how can you be so stupid? You got the ball at the 1 yard line. We're going to throw it from the shotgun with Mason Rudolph 4 times. How can this team lack such accountability when the coach gets up there and answers every question that he's asked, no matter how tough of a question it is, he answers it. And it's not like Vrabel where he gets personal. How can these guys be as unaccountable? How can he have this special teams coach? And I didn't see the full press conference, but I did see clips on Twitter of Colt Anderson's press conference today. It was an unmitigated disaster. How can he have that guy on his coaching staff when I know he's much smarter than that? And that is the Brian Callahan conundrum. Somebody's got to explain this to me. When it comes to guys like Carthon and Brinker, I listen to them talk, and there's nothing there. Their podcast interviews, it's all about how great everything is. It's all about how great they are. It's all about how great their system is. It's, you know, we checked every box. Okay. You know, we are obsessed with winning immediately. Okay. The ball not bouncing their way. We need to be patient, but win immediately. I don't know what that means. But those guys are BS artists, so I get it. I understand why it's not working out from their player acquisition element because they, you know, they're all out there. But again, with Callahan, it's like on Monday after a loss, he's accountable himself, that is. He's insightful. He's honest. And quite frankly, again, to me, he comes across as somebody who knows what they're doing and is in control of the situation and can be able to fix it. Yeah, you know, there's the occasional BS from him too, like when he said it was hot that day at practice. But I've never once listened to Brian Callahan and thought, this guy doesn't have a clue. Then on Sunday, it's a completely disorganized, constantly mind-numbing, mistake-filled crap show. I mean, they have problems that a team with a rookie head coach shouldn't have. They can't even get the play calls in on time. They got to burn all those first half timeouts. On Sunday, it looks like he's an absolute dope, and that's every Sunday. So somebody help me out here. Where's the disconnect? Because I don't know the answer to this. Why can't Brian Callahan look like a good, organized coach on Sunday when Monday through Friday, again, he seems like a smart, confident, thoughtful coach. And then it comes, well, you know, we're going to figure out who to play at right tackle. All throughout the week, Brian Callahan answers every single question. And again, answers them confidently, even the ones where you can tell it's a little contentious or he's a little uncomfortable. Sometimes he doesn't say things that I believe, but again, he seems confident in it. Seems like he has answers to the problems. Then he gets out there on Sunday. And I just remember doing the pregame show a couple of weeks ago when we're talking about what the team's going to be here and then what's it. And then it's like, all right, let's see who's inactive for today's game. And it's like, Leroy Watson's inactive? Wait a minute. The guy who started at right tackle last week, did give up a sack. He's inactive this week? Why? What, is he hurt? Is he? What's going on? Oh, no, they just figured that they'd go try somebody else. What? So, again, when it comes to Amy, I know what Amy's faults are. I see it. even in the Mike Keith interview she did after she fired Mike Vrabel, even in the interview she did with Teresa Walker after she fired John Robinson, she answered questions with detached from reality responses. Well, we've got Ran, we've got cap space, we've got a good young quarterback. Okay. With Ran and Brinker, it's the ball didn't bounce our way. Okay. With Callahan, it's like this guy's got a actual, it feels like he's got his finger on the pulse. Then he goes out, coaches on Sunday, they can't even get a play call in. So somebody smarter than me is going to have to tell me what is going on here. How can somebody seem smart, seem like they know what they're doing, seem like they're in command of the situation, seem like they're the guy that can fix this, and then go out there on Sunday and be completely inept with coaches that don't know if it's pumped or stuffed? Somebody help me out. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And there's one thing that I feel like the local media doesn't feel that the fans do, and I think I feel it, and I think it's the biggest mistake the Titans made, period, and they still won't correct it. We'll get to that next. It's Stillman & Company, live from Bridgestone Arena, 1025 The Game.
I think the Titans could differentiate themselves somewhat by being more transparent. I think Brian Callahan has been far more transparent.
I would
agree. That's a refreshing thing about this team. And Ran would be wise to follow his lead. But he tends to misstep when he speaks publicly. I also don't think the personnel question was about the quality of street free agents. That's not what he's asking. We all know that you're not going to go solve this team's problems. I think the question is more about like what you failed to do or what you assembled and what it's doing.
There you go. That's Kaharsky talking about, hey, I mean, can the Titans just, I don't know, be a little honest? Maybe not everything have to be a super secret. And by the way, your super secrets, hey, trust us, we got this secret plan, you'll see. And then the secret plan is 1-6. So I don't think this is getting talked about enough, what I'm about to bring up. I don't think this is getting talked about enough. I think this is the rub between the fan base and the team right now. And I don't know if people in the media aren't picking up on this because they don't care, or if they're not picking up on it because they don't want to pick up on it, or I couldn't tell you why. Maybe because they just don't have the same juice for the football team that we have. I mean, I hear Buck all the time. Buck's always like, I don't want to talk about this football team anymore. It's like, well, everybody who lives here does. But I believe that the Titans really hurt themselves. I mean, really hurt themselves with the fan base, and they continue to hurt themselves with the fan base when it comes to all of that talk. Like all of this, hey, just trust us, fans. Oh, fans, you'll see. Oh, we're going to build you something special, fans. Just trust us. I think that's fine during the offseason because, again, there's no game to play on Sunday. But once you start playing the games and the results don't start going the way that you had promised, fans want to know, why is it like this? And what are you going to do to fix it? And the Titans, outside of Rand doing that interview with the Tennessean, the Titans haven't done much in terms of explaining what they're going to do to fix something. And now it all kind of feels like a Ponzi scheme. Now it all feels like, give us your money and this return on investment will be. Only to find out, yeah, the money's gone. Like, if the Titans knew this was a rebuild, and by the way, they won't use that word right now. But if they knew this was a rebuild, they should have communicated it. Not, hey, fans, be patient, but we have to win immediately, Chad Brinker. If they knew this was going to be a rocky process of the quarterback learning the offense, or of them learning the quarterback, or of the quarterback learning the receiver, or whatever it may be, if they knew this was going to be a rocky process, they should have said so. When Will Levis threw the ball in the lake during 7-on-7s and OTAs, Brian Callahan should have come out and said, guys, this is going to take time. This is a work in progress. Instead, every day it was like, no, I think we did some good things. And, hey, Denard's defense, that's a really good defense out there. Yeah, they never sacked a quarterback or get a turnover, but other than that, they're great. If they knew they didn't have enough resources to build a competent offensive line, remember all the people out there that make the excuse for them? You can't fix everything in one offseason, though Washington has figured out a way to do that. Then they should have said so. Instead of, no, 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 we believe in Nicholas Petitfrere, a.k.a.
PT.
PT. We believe in PT and Jalen Duncan, only to find yourselves playing revolving right tackle door 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks into the season. But they didn't say any of that. They didn't communicate any of that to any of you. In fact, they did the exact opposite. We checked every box this offseason, from the number one starter to the furthest backup. Our job is to win immediately. Amy Adams Strunk, I have a high expectations. The last two seasons weren't good enough, so I got high expectations. They said all offseason they thought they could compete and that they had high expectations. And they're 1-6, and they're the worst team in the league. Because that's a problem. It's especially a problem when Ian, go ahead and take a bow, Ian, Ian has a better feel for what your team is than you do. So what happened here? And to me, it's pretty simple. Either they lied to sell PSLs, which I don't believe, or they didn't know better, which is a problem. That is a problem, that the guys running this football team didn't know better. That they didn't know better than to just, hey, we're just going to roll with it at right tackle and see what happens. They should have known that that was going to be a problem. But they didn't, because they didn't know better. They should have known you don't draft run-stuffing DTs in the second round when another team is trying to trade you a future second-round pick. But, again, they didn't know better. And then when it came to all the talk, I don't think they knew better. I think they thought we could just get up there and say things like, we checked every box, and when it doesn't come to fruition, our fans aren't going to remember it. We're just going to get up there and say the ball didn't bounce our way. And our fans aren't going to lose faith in us because they're going to think that we're incompetent, because only somebody who didn't watch the game on Sunday would say that. Again, I don't want to keep harping on Floyd Reese and what he would have done or what he would have said, because deep down inside, I don't know what he would have said. But Ian, I feel pretty confident in saying that Floyd would have never said something like, we checked every box this offseason.
Yeah, doesn't seem likely.
No, it doesn't seem like something he'd say. I mean, I remember I used to ask him questions, you know, hey, is Marcus going to make it? Do you see a franchise quarterback? Do you? And it was always like, I hope. But you don't know in this league. But that's not what the Titans did. Part of Rand Carthon's interview when he asked the fans to stick with him was like, guys, just stay with us, because we're just as frustrated as you. Nobody's more frustrated than we are. It's like, right, but you're the one that's supposed to do something about it. You're the one that's supposed to have us entertained by football in November and not talking about Shedeur Sanders and Cam Ward. That's your job. Again, if they had gotten out in front of everybody and they had said, hey, guys, we're rebuilding. Henry, Tannehill, Byard, Vrabel, we're scrapping it. We're going to compete. We're going to try to build a team out there that can win. But we are rebuilding. This is going to take time. This is not going to be a competitive football team this year. We're going to try our hardest, but we have to be realistic. I think fans would understand being 1-6. But they didn't. They checked every box. And again, the other thing, too, is the Titans' whole line of reasoning right now, the whole reason to believe in them, the thing that I realized, because I've read that Rand Carthon article in the Tennessean about 8 times, the whole sentiment The message that I felt was conveyed to me as a fan was trust us, bro. Just trust us. But I don't do that because I gave you the benefit of the doubt last offseason. And you signed Andre Dillard and drafted a guard with the 11th overall pick. And not even a good guard, but a guard. John Robinson and Mike Vrabel did some boneheaded stuff over the years. Trust me. But they always had a football team. Now, Vrabel the last year, not so much. But they always had a football team in the mix. This group spent a gazillion dollars. Talked all that, you know what, about how good they were. And they're dead to rights on Halloween. And their explanation again is, hey, just trust us, bro. Just trust us. So that next year when they're 2-5, they can say, hey, it's a process. Ignoring the fact that they've promised something totally different. It was an entire offseason of those promises. And that's the disconnect. That's the rub. That's why 49% of the people voted for me to be the general manager of this football team over the people that are doing it now. And I don't think the Titans seem to understand. Like, that is a problem. I think they just sit there and think, hey, let them eat cake. Ball didn't bounce our way. Suck it up. Trust us. And as a Titan fan, again, I don't think this bothers people in the media. You know, Joe Rexroad's a Lions fan. Robbie's a Packer fan. And I'm not singling them out because I think they do their jobs very well. But as a Titan fan, it is so discouraging to know that, hey, you know what? Just trust us. Why? Everything you've done sucks. Why would I trust you? And then they don't really feel the need to explain why you should trust them. And then they run and hide. Amy doesn't talk. Brinker doesn't talk. Rand did do an interview, but, you know, where's the press conference? Where's the letting everybody ask questions? Where's the taking it from all angles, not 3 minutes in the corner of the locker room? And then they put Brian Callahan out there, and he's the one that has to eat the crap. And again, this all goes back to what was promised and what hasn't been delivered. And the fact that there's no culpability for why it hasn't been delivered, and I got to say, and I got to be totally honest with you, not only is there no culpability, there doesn't seem like there's really any remorse either. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. And if we are in the tanking camp, I think I might have some bad news for you. I talked to somebody in the league. We'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
It's funny, before we came out, AJ Highsmith and I were in, you know, my office, and I'm straightening up my desk because my wife is coming to practice today. So Lord knows I got to have it clean before she comes in.
Yeah.
And I was looking at the sheet that the offensive staff had broke down in terms of our needs going into the offseason. And, you know, we could, I'll show you guys later, but we literally checked every single box.
Wow.
From what we felt like we needed in starters to the furthest backup. And we were able to hit every single one of those. So, and that's what we really set out to do. We really set out to, wasn't necessarily like, hey, we got to flip this roster, but it was like, let's fill these holes and these needs that we have.
We checked every box, Ian, every single box.
That's what they said.
That's an oldie, but a goodie. I got to tell you, Rand doesn't talk very often, but every time he does, there's always one or two in there. Let's do some phones, which are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt from Nashville says, I wonder if Ian is getting annoyed that his early season prediction has turned into a Jared point of complete evidence that he is the smartest Titans fan. When you say he is the smartest Titans fan, you talking about me or Ian? I don't know. Ian, are you annoyed by the fact that I consistently bring up the fact that you were by far, or I guess I should say by one game, by far the most accurate polling Titans pundit of the 2024 offseason?
I wouldn't say annoyed is the word, but maybe, no, I guess not. Not annoyed, no.
Do you feel validated?
No, not really.
So what do you feel?
Maybe I just got lucky.
Oh, come on. You know that that exercise we do, that is a scientific model.
That is a scientific model, but the games that are in the categories now versus what they were when we did the exercise are not night or like complete opposite almost, some of them.
Now, that is always something that we've done every year when we say, okay, these are the games that they will win and the games that they will lose. And there's always a game that we say, oh, they'll win that game. And then they lose to the Houston Texans with Tyrod Taylor at quarterback.
So, you know, part of me thinks the formula works, but also thinks it might have just been a little lucky.
I'm just saying, Ian Safar, number one Titans polling pundit of 2024. Let's go to Mo, who's up next here on our program. Mo, thank you for calling and thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Mo.
So I was just thinking about this for a couple of weeks now. I don't really listen to your show, but I tune in sometimes. And I hear you rant a lot about the Titans and how they completely messed up this season. I don't think Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, or any of them came into the season thinking Will Levis is going to be this disastrous. I don't think anybody had that in mind. I think we all were focused on Will Levis improving and being a good player, especially with the weapons around him. I feel like it's more of a Will Levis thing and not a Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, or an administration thing. That's
so then why did they get beat by 32 points on Sunday without Will Levis? And why did that quarterback, who didn't turn the ball over in four starts for Pittsburgh last year, why did he look as bad as Will Levis on Sunday?
I don't think that's a coaching problem. I feel like Detroit was just a superior team. I don't think it's an administration
points.
Problem how you're making it. I don't think it's
they ran the ball to the left side. Jahmyr Gibbs ran it 70 yards up the field and didn't get touched. Is that Will Levis's fault?
But you're making it seem like it's an administration problem. I don't think the administration is not out there playing the game.
No, they're picking the players that are playing the games that are stinking in all three phases and stinking when Will Levis isn't out there. The best thing that ever happened, Mo. Yes, Mo, yes, it is an administration problem. Thank you for your call. That is an administration problem. And I'm going to tell you what's another administration problem. We talked about this yesterday. Malik Willis, right now, I think there's a stat that the two most efficient passers in the NFL with a minimum of 39 passes this year are Jared Goff and Malik Willis. Malik Willis has a quarterback rating of 130. He's got three touchdowns and no interceptions, and he has won two games as a starter and won a game in relief. And he's not good enough to play here? Well, but Jared, I don't think that was a – I mean, if we just take everything and say, well, you know, it's not his fault. That's what you're doing. Again, I heard people that were like, you know, they gave Will Levis every tool, and that's what this year was about. Every tool. They don't have a right tackle. What are you talking about, every tool? And let me say this. Look, Will Levis does some stupid stuff out there with the ball, but I bet you he'd be better if he had a right tackle. I bet you he'd be better if he had a quarterback's best friend, a young quarterback's best friend, which is a tight end. Instead, he's got Chig. So, yes, it's an administration problem. When you don't sack the quarterback, that's not Will Levis's fault. So, but make excuse, and I will say this, I think the two games of being off, I think it's the best thing ever happened to Will Levis, was having two games where he didn't play, and the team looked equally as inept with him out of the lineup as they did with him in the lineup. And then the second question has to be, well, you know, I didn't think Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan thought Will Levis was going to be this bad. Who picked him? Rand Carthon did. So, I mean, Ben's up next. Thank you for calling. What's up, Ben?
Hey, Jared. Thanks for taking my call, man.
Sure.
So, I'm going to keep this short and sweet. First of all, that last caller clearly listened to the other shows that go on in the station throughout time. But, you know, I'm just going to tell you, you know, a lot of people aren't going to say this to you, and they probably should. They should thank you for keeping it real and being the only member of the media on this station particularly that really keeps it real with the fans and with the state of affairs of this team as it seems.
I disagree with our midday show sometimes, so I know what you're saying, but I would say that our station doesn't. I mean, like, it's not Homer Radio. Those guys actually think what they say. Other stuff I can't tell you about this night. They do.
But you keep it 100% real. And I say that because I've called in and I've talked to them back and forth about the same thing you're talking about. And they quickly are dismissive when the blame starts going on Rand and the rest. You know what I mean? When, I'll be honest with you, yeah, Rand was left with a hot plate of mess. But it is his job to identify that mess and say to Amy or whoever, hey, I need to do this to fix it. And that's what he did not do.
So here's what's going to happen.
What you're talking about.
Ben, I hear you. Thank you for your call. Here's what's going to happen. I do not know this for a fact, but I am foreshadowing. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to say Rand told Amy all that stuff behind the scenes. That's what's going to happen. Here's what I think actually happened. I think it was, give us $230 million and we will build this thing up. Let us hire our coach and we will build this thing up. I don't think they expected to go to the Super Bowl. I think they expected to be like 4-4 right now. Not 1-7 or whatever, 1-6. But what's going to come out is it's going to be, when Rand got here, he told Amy they had to tear it apart, but Amy didn't feel that way because Vrabel didn't think so. And then Vrabel will be made the bad guy. And that's what they're, it's going to be revisionist history. I'm telling you right now, that is what I think is going to happen. That's what I think is going to happen. One texter says that Colt Anderson press conference encapsulates the entire organization. Say something is unacceptable for the third time, contradict themselves, and then finish it by saying, we'll get it fixed. You know, Ian, do we have that cut, by the way?
Which one? I'm sorry?
The Colt Anderson press conference.
We do have the Colt Anderson press conference, the entire thing. I haven't had a chance to clip it up yet.
But we don't have that Kaharsky thing?
We probably do. Yeah, we have the whole thing, so I don't have the exact quote ready right now, but I can get it ready.
Okay, so let's do that next. 615-737-1025. Good for Kaharsky for, you know, not that like Kaharsky, like, you know, wouldn't have stood up for himself against Colt Anderson, but good for Kaharsky because what Colt Anderson said today, like if I'm Brian Callahan, man, I don't know if I can let him do another interview. I don't know if I can. We'll do it next. Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. Again, if you want to weigh in on the program. Join me, Chris Sanders, and D-Mace live at John Bon Jovi's this Sunday for the award-winning pregame show from 9:30 to 11:30. We break down the Titans as they get set for the matchup against the Patriots. Real primetime show right there. The award-winning pregame show is presented by Barman Tractor and Equipment, Sundeck, Nashville, Sloan's Motorcycle ATV, and award-winning Blue Note Juke Joint and Blue Note Crossroads Bourbon.
That Colt can turn the special teams unit around.
I mean, Colt's played a lot of football in the NFL, too. He's seen, he played for 8 years as a player. He was under one of the best special teams coaches in football, I think, in Darren Simmons in Cincinnati. So he's got the experience and the wherewithal to understand where the special teams issues are. And then you got Anthony Levine in there with him, who also has seen a lot and played a lot and under John Harbaugh in Baltimore. So those guys got great special teams experience. They understand what they're looking at and what there is, and we have to do a better job all the way around. But those guys know special teams, and they know what the solutions are, and we have to make sure we implement them and do them. Because I think they're good young coaches, but again, they're young coaches too, just like there's a couple of us are, and we have to do a better job all the way around.
Yeah, no, Colt Anderson, he played in the NFL. He must be good. A lot of guys played in the NFL that I wouldn't let anywhere near my football team. So I kind of struggle with that one. But he was under, who was the Cincinnati? Dalton Simmons, who's the best, he's the best special teams coach, even though none of us have ever heard of him. But he's the best special teams coach out there. So he and Anthony Levine, they played a lot of football. So they know special teams, so I believe in them. Okay, well, you would know better than us. So on Thursdays, the coordinators talk, and it is league mandated that coordinators speak. Thus, Denard Wilson gets up there, and Nick Holtz gets up there, and Colt Anderson gets up there. Normally, nobody ever cares what the special teams coach says, because who really cares unless it's a complete and total tire fire, which is what the Titans have right here. So this is the guy that Brian Callahan decided to bring over from Cincinnati make his special teams coach, and is now sticking his neck out for when, again, there's enough that's gone wrong on special teams to get this man fired. Two blocked punts. They can't get lined up right. They didn't know the rules in Miami. And then, of course, last week with Khalif Raymond almost setting an NFL record. And this was Colt Anderson today at the press conference.
If you grade one of the guys, his effort or performance as unacceptable in 3 out of 7 games so far in the season, what happens to that?
I don't think it's 3 out of 7 games. This last game was kind of an anomaly. We got beat, and it's unacceptable. We got to play with our hair on fire, and we will.
But you stood there and said the special teams performance three times when you've met with us after a game, you've said it's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering what kind of consequence is there for a guy if he's unacceptable 3 out of 7 times?
Yeah, it hasn't been effort. Effort's never been an issue here. I think guys are passionate. I know guys are passionate about it, but just executing their assignment at an extremely high level and, just hammering the details and getting guys ready to roll.
Well, you just said effort was a problem in this game. Mm-hmm. B, the question wasn't about effort. So if you could take both of those. First off, you said effort was a problem in this game.
This game, yeah.
Okay. But separate of the effort, if a guy is putting forth an unacceptable performance in 3 out of 7 games, what happens to that guy?
You're looking for a guy to come in and make things right. That's what our job is to do, is put the best 11 on the field. It's a performance-based business. So you got to go out there and perform.
By the way, that guy could be Jimbo Fisher's son. Anybody else hear that? Well, it's performance-based business, and we got to get out there, and we got to. And I don't think Dopey at the press conference understood what Paul was doing. Ian, did you follow along what Paul was doing?
Not totally.
So Paul was asking him, if a guy's terrible 3 out of 7 games, what are you going to do? And he said, well, we're going to get rid of him. Paul's point is, he's been terrible 3 out of 7 games. The special teams have been awful for 3 out of the 7 games. And Colt Anderson gets up there and says, it's unacceptable, unacceptable, unacceptable. Well, if it's unacceptable 3 out of the 7 times for anybody that you're coaching, what would you do? Well, I'll get somebody else in there and I'll put them in. Right. So if you're unacceptable 3 out of 7 times, don't you think you should be replaced? That's the point. And on top of it, again, Colt Anderson, I'm sorry, he sounds like a moron. He does. Like, he sounds like a complete and total bumbling moron. And this is where I'm sitting here saying, okay, this is a reflection of Brian Callahan. This is a reflection of Rand Carthon. Remember, Rand Carthon didn't go to the Senior Bowl because we had to get the coaching staff together, and these are the guys they hired? This guy? This guy. I mean, if you're going to sit up there and tell us the effort's bad, then you're going to say effort's never the problem? Here's what I think has happened with the Titans. I would need to spend more time in that building. Like, I would need to be allowed in there in a non-media setting, and that's just not going to happen. But I think what's happened is, I'm going to call this head-up-ass syndrome. What I think has happened is, everybody there is only allowed to think happy thoughts and say happy things. Have you ever been around somebody who never plans for something bad to happen? Like, I hate to say it, but I have car insurance. I hope I never get in a wreck. I have life insurance. I'm going to have a kid in December. I hope I never have to use it. But guess what? We got to discuss it because it's a possibility. Instead, there are people out there that are, why would you ever put that out into the orbit? Why would you ever say something like that? And that is Titans headquarters. These guys get up there, they're asked a perfectly simple question by Paul Kaharsky, and they're like, I don't know what to say, no. And he's not the only one. We played cuts a couple of weeks ago of Denard Wilson talking about how great Jeffrey Simmons is, and Paul followed up with, if he's so great, why isn't he sacking the quarterback? And Denard Wilson was stopped like, holy crap, I wasn't prepared for that. He was like, well, he's doing the best he can. again, this coaching staff, like, they look like, they sound like morons. And I'm sorry, you can't listen to that and not think that guy's a dope. And if your coaches are dopes, what's that say about you for hiring them? And then for you for defending them. So, I'm sorry, it's a train wreck around here. I know, it's a rebuild. Maybe we can rebuild with some smarter coaches. Maybe that would help things out. Colt Anderson. What a dope. What a dope. 615-737-1025 here on the program. Now, we do need to have a discussion about this whole rebuild. Again, nobody over there saying it. But all the Bobos, all the people that are trying to defend them, they're all saying this is a rebuild. But there's one major problem with a potential Titans rebuild. We'll get to it next. I'm going to Kevin, 1025 The Game.